enormous influence on the Alex Rolder brothers.
How it is. But you come. Mm-hmm.
Pull my speech out here, so give me a moment. I forgot it. So normally what I do is, can you hear me all okay if I just stand like this? Good. I usually just kind of choose a few themes that I might talk about and then wing it. But I made the mistake this time of deciding to write something. And I went, ooh, that's really nice. I like that part. And that part, too. So I'm not going to be able to wing that. I'm going to have to memorize it. But I can't do that, so I may be half reading it, half saying it. Anyway, it's a treat to be back here after so many years. It's been decades since I've been at an ATI meeting, but you've been in my thoughts, and I've been communicating with a lot of you, so to see so many new faces. I thought I would come, and the wonderful thing would be seeing all these old faces, people that I've known for far too long. But I'm actually very amazed to see so many new faces, which is absolutely great. So Winston Churchill, who I guess you probably heard of, who had a way with words, said quite a lot of quotable things. And one of my favorites, which I've always found very useful in teaching, is this one. No matter how beautiful the strategy, occasionally you might want to look at the results. But he also said this, too. He said, there are only two things more difficult than giving an afternoon speech. One of them is trying to climb a ladder facing towards you, leaning towards you, and the other is trying to kiss a girl who's leaning away from you. So this is not an afternoon speech, but it is an after dinner speech. And I recognize a lot of you have traveled far, and you are probably tired, and you've had a good meal and lots of wine, and you might even be jet lagged. So I'll try and keep it not too long, or at least I'll try. So here we all are. Obviously, a lot of us, all of us who came here, are dedicated enough to, in the work we do and for this organization, to travel from far and wide. And the theme of this year's annual conference is connecting our community. Okay? That's what we humans do, isn't it? We do community. That's our nature. We are social animals, after all. We thrive in groups, and we go kind of crazy in isolation. We're not solitary tigers in the jungle. We're a pride of lions, and proud of it. So connecting and community, it's almost like a little bit redundant, isn't it? But not always, in fact, because sometimes communities are connected, and sometimes they're not. There's a grammatical term you might know called a collective noun. If you've forgotten all your grammar from high school, don't worry, because I guarantee you know lots of these. For instance, a swarm of bees, a herd of cows, a school of fish, or a flock of sheep. Those are all collective nouns. And I looked this up on the internet. And I'll tell you one thing I found out is that there's no shortage of sites on the internet full of lists. So I found about a dozen sites that had collective nouns for various animals with their collective noun. And the thing that struck me the most was that missing from every single one I looked at least until I got to about a dozen, was humans. Every animal you could think of, but not humans, which is kind of odd. So finally, I found one that did have humans, and in that site, the collective nouns for humans were a gang, a tribe, a mob, a race, and community. A community of humans, that sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? You've all heard the term the Alexander community, and you probably used it yourself. In all likelihood, what you meant by it was all of us doing the Alexander work, a collective noun that gathers us all together into a sort of warm and fuzzy group. Kind of warm because it's our group, and fuzzy because it's often not so clear what we're meaning by it. That is, it could mean every Alexander person, teacher, students, and friends. Sometimes it just means Alexander teachers, and sometimes it just means your local group of Alexander people you hang out with. So, here's the Alexander technique community, and here's everybody else. We're in there somewhere, but here's everybody else. In fact, I've been a little bit optimistic in terms of the size of our community relative to 6 billion of everybody else. But it might be a little more like this tiny little speck here. But, so we have the Alexander community as opposed to them. Alexander community, us, them, the rest of the world. And the rest of the world isn't really a community as such. It's just all those other people who aren't the Alexander community, who probably wish they could be if they knew about us, but they don't yet. But on the other hand, of course, it isn't just a whole bunch of other people who aren't in the Alexander community. They have their own communities. There's the yoga community, of which I am a part, even though I don't do yoga. But I do teach yoga teachers. There's the Feldenkrais community, the scientific community, the Francophone community, the Ukrainian community, the model train community, the wooden model train community, the 19th century wooden model train community. You get the idea. There's even a community of Dave Gormans brought together by the English comedian Dave Gorman, who went around the world hunting down Dave Gormans and made a piece of theater about it that won awards in a BBC TV show. That was my 15 minutes of fame, by the way. It's all used up now. So if you look around you, you'll see that communities are everywhere. Remember, human beings do community. That's our thing. They can be small, like the tiny group of Nobel Prize winners, or even smaller, like the tiny group of female Canadian Nobel Prize winners. Or they can be huge, like the huge scientific community, or smallish but growing rapidly, like the Alexander community. They can be international and widely spread, like ATI. Or they can be local, like the small group of friends you go running with every week in your neighborhood. But what makes a community? Is it just the fact of something in common, like a name? The term is often used that way. Whether you are a runner or not, you've probably heard the term the running community. Maybe you even thought of yourself as part of the running community because you bought running shoes once and then you ran. Maybe you listened to the news one day and heard an item like this. The running community was saddened by the death of 69-year-old Nova Scotia runner Paul Collins, winner of many marathons, who ran for Canada in the 1952 Olympics. In the early 1980s, when he was close to 60 years old, he was the world record holder for many ultra-long distance events ranging from 200 kilometers to six-day races. 6 days, he even ran in his sleep, you see. The running community was saddened by his death. Which running community? You, the morning runner who didn't even know him, were you saddened? You might have been curious if you heard that news item, but if you did not know him, you were probably not overly saddened. But how about the tight-knit community of ultra-long-distance runners who did know him and who knew what he went through to get to the top? Almost certainly they were saddened. Why? Well, because they were his community. They ran with him. They shared trials and tribulations with him. They celebrated and they commiserated together. They knew him personally and they had feelings about him. They all shared hard-won knowledge and many grueling and triumphant experiences in their ultra-long-distance running. But how about the model train community? Were they saddened by his death? Probably not. There was nothing in the news item about him having a model train hobby, let alone an ultra-long-distance model train hobby. Or how about the Alexander community? Were they saddened by his death? Were you saddened by his death? Well, did you know that this Collins from Nova Scotia was the same man who wrote this? Through the Alexander technique, I was able to rehabilitate my running after 25 years of being unable to run because of injury, to the extent that I was able to set 10 world records for veterans in 1982. And did you know that this same Paul Collins, who was trained as an Alexander teacher by Walter Carrington in the 60s, and the same Paul Collins then ran a training course for Alexander teachers in London and in Devon. In fact, there may well be people in this audience right now, I wrote this before I came here, I see, who were trained by him and his wife Betty, Robert Rickover, Michael Gelb, and Jeremy Chance were all trained as Alexander teachers by Paul Collins. I taught with Paul many times at conferences and in his training course, and he was one of the most intelligent and brilliant teachers I've ever met. In fact, I had the most remarkable Alexander experience of my life at his hands in Aalborg, Denmark, when we were teaching together at a conference. In one of the sessions, he used me as a subject of a demonstration. He started taking me in and out of monkey, going deeper and higher and deeper and higher until I was actually leaving the ground, boinging up and down, and then he just with a little tap on my back sent me across the grass. And it was incredible. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't moving. I was just a big human spring, sprawling, like a kangaroo. I've never experienced anything like it. It was absolutely remarkable. I got so excited about it. I was going so fast that I just fell over on my face in the grass. And he had obviously done this before with other people. He got it going in me in a minute or two. But unfortunately, the secret of how he did it seems to have been lost with his death. So yes, the Alexander community was saddened by his death, but not the Alexander community, his Alexander community. A community made up of those who knew him. In other words, the kind of community that is really connected is not just any plain old collection of all the members with the same name and the same title. A truly connected community is one that is our community, those we have communed with. True community is not a fact, it is a feeling. It is not membership, it is fellowship. It is the fellowship of shared feeling, of shared interests, of shared knowledge and shared experiences. The fellowship of looking around us on our journey and spotting others on the same path who are looking back at us, knowing that we know that they are there and that they know that we are there and that all of us are being glad to see each other. It does not depend on a name. In fact, the name can obscure it and give us a faulty appreciation that community is there when it is not. One summer back in the early 1990s, I was invited to present a workshop at a large conference in the wilds of western Massachusetts called Body-Oriented Psychotherapy. The conference, not the area. which was largely aimed at opening up the experience of mind-oriented psychotherapists to how body work can help move people and people's thoughts and people's emotions and change their inner states and reactivity. Tommy Thompson was there too to present on the Alexander technique also. And there were dozens and dozens of other presenters and practitioners of almost every kind. There were so many people, in fact, that you had to consult this huge book to decide who you were going to go and whose presentation you were going to see, because there were probably 10 or 12 happening at once. This conference happened in the middle of a period when I was experiencing a lot of flack from my Alexander colleagues in the UK due to my enthusiasm in developing the Alexander work in my training course beyond their ideas of what were the boundaries of tradition, shall we say, otherwise known as doing something new. And these colleagues were people that I had been thinking of as my community. So receiving this kind of reaction, rejection, was a new experience for me, but I'm sure there are many of you here today that have experienced probably much worse than I did. To have the Alexander community reject you and your work. It was a disturbing thing to find that part of that community in which I had been so welcome for years had turned their backs on me. I was rather happy to get out of London that summer, actually, and go to this conference. But the point is that it was such a big conference and you had to choose these things, so you had to look at this book to decide what to go to. And what really struck me was that you'd read the blurb, the person's bio and the blurb about what they were going to do, and they all sounded the same. The descriptions where everyone was a variation on the theme of, I work with the whole person, to free them up from old traumas, habits, and release them into the present and being more in touch with themselves, or some variation on that. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of nice. That's kind of what we do. But when I went and checked out a number of these different presentations, they couldn't have been more different. But it wasn't the differences so much that struck me. In fact, it was that no matter the method or the technique, we were all actually engaged on the same endeavor, which was to help people become free from chronic problems. Which brings me to the second thing there, that during those days I met a lot of new people. Every one of them was passionate about their own work. But some were dogmatic, some were prejudiced, some would not or could not look beyond their own discipline. Many others, though, were interested in and very excited by the possibilities of other people's work. Many were pioneers in their own way and had met reaction from their own traditions. They had struggled to build up their vision and turn it into a new work that helped others. I remember sitting on a rock by the lake as the sun went down, talking to a few people I had connected with, feeling a great sense of joy and a sense of belonging. And the thought that came to me was, I found my community. I found another community. I recognized these people, and they recognized me, and we all appreciated what we'd found in each other. Now, the point I'm getting at is this, that real community is not in a name like the Alexander Technique or any other name. It is about finding those who we can recognize walking through the unknown on the same path. We see them and they see us traveling along beside them regardless of the name on their shirts or the name on their door. But community is not just people on the same path who see each other. What if they see you on the path and don't want you there? What if they feel that it is their path and you don't deserve to be there? So real community is what happens when people on the same path, when they see us, are happy that there are other people on the path and welcome us on the journey and are excited about what we can share and how we can help each other along the way. This kind of community gladdens the heart. And this is no minor thing, because we humans are social animals and belonging is in our nature. It is one of our most basic and fundamental needs. Not belonging, that is, being rejected or being ostracized or exiled, is painful and damaging and downright unhealthy for us. It hurts the heart. It leaves scars and challenges our innocent tendency to welcome everybody and wag our tails when we see them. Real community, on the other hand, is powerful. Powerful medicine and powerful healing. After that conference, I came back to London to face the coming year of running my training course with a new sense of strength and support to carry on. My previously negative sense of disillusionment had changed into a positive one. In fact, I realized it was a good thing that I was disillusioned. I was free of my illusions that we were all one happy family. I knew it. I mean, I knew it before. You'd have to be blind not to see that in the Alexander world, where some of the first founders, the first training course people came to blows over who was right and who wasn't. But I had never been on the outside before. So, why am I here today? And why are you all here today? The short answer is this community, our community. It was no coincidence that the period that I was just speaking about above was also the time when ATI was forming. And I think many of us came together with our own visions, somewhat different but common enough, to start something new. And specifically to start something new and start it in a way that hadn't been done before. To make it different than what had been done before. To design or redesign a community to be a reflection of and an adequate container for how we understood our work. The Alexander work is about openness and flexibility. And ATI, we are ATI, have been steadfast in creating a structure for our organization that mirrors these same principles. A structure that is open and allowing. A structure that is about quality and not quantity. A structure that is flexible and not rigid. That is not trying to protect tradition, but that is more than ready to change things at any time so that they can be even better. ATI is the first, and actually still only, Alexander community which refused to start from a premise of here is the Alexander technique received in stone, and here are the rules we have to make sure that everyone fits into it. Instead, ATI said, here are all of us exploring this work that inspires us, and now what is the Alexander technique that can fit us all? That's a huge difference. Huh? And you know what that is? That's trust. ATI is also the first Alexander community that said, you know what? Let's all sit down together and work out a definition of the Alexander technique by seeing what we all have in common. And let's agree that the breadth and the width and the length of diversity that we see among us shall be the measure of this technique. And you know what that is? That's acceptance. Yeah, sure there were, and no doubt still are, some rocks in the road, but I have to say that ATI is the only professional group I belong to that I actually enjoy being part of. And I've been part of quite a few of them, and even been on the boards of quite a few of them, and involved in starting quite a few of them. In my opinion, ATI is the first organization to truly design its structure and process to match the essence of the Alexander work and to fit the way that we work rather than force us to fit the structure. In my humble opinion, Alexander Technique International is the first organization that walks its talk, that treats everyone as a valued member with a say in what happens, even non-teachers, that has dared to embrace evolution and change rather than fear change and react to perceived revolution. You know, I actually look forward to coming to these meetings, like these, not just to see old friends, but because I come away afterwards with a positive sense of belonging, a glow of belonging, in fact, which leads me to the second part of what I want to talk about, but I'm more than halfway through. Here's an interesting quote I ran across from Wendell Berry, who's an essayist and an environmentalist who's still alive. He wrote, I believe that the community, in the fullest sense, a place in all its creatures, is the smallest unit of health, and that to speak of the health of an isolated individual is a contradiction in terms. He's saying that our communities are not just there so that we can further our own individual ends and validate our credentials to the world, rather that our communities are the very means to our own health and well-being. Now, it seems to me that creating such a healthy community in the world today involves two big areas. One of these areas is more basic and primary, and it needs to be taken care of first if the other is to have any chance of coming to fruition. That first area is the creating of the community itself, which happens because enough of us find our way to each other and recognize this as our group. This is something you feel in your heart by how you are treated when you enter the group and by how the group affects you so that it brings out the best in you. You cannot make a community happen, but you can recognize it when it's there. I think we are well on our way to that already in ATI. But we need to do more than just discover our community and then join it. We also need to support that community. We need to stand up for our community, even sometimes fight for it. One of the things we will be discussing, not at this meeting probably, but meeting soon, is how ATI, all of us, can connect in a new way with three of our local ATI regions in France and Germany and Austria, who have recently decided or had to formally constitute themselves as national societies, so they can be recognized by their national governments in the face of the other national Alexander societies who have excluded them. To achieve this, we are going to have to once again evolve and grow our structure. But ATI does that, don't we? It isn't just ATI that grows when we do this, we all grow when we accept these challenges and make the appropriate changes rather than resist them. When we support our common path and vision, we prove that there's trust between us. We live up to it. This allows us all to be able to be ourselves and to join in without fear. It allows us to feel accepted and therefore try out new things. Altogether, this lets us build on our collective strengths, which is, after all we really have, isn't it? Or to put it differently, when we first find our community, we tend to recognize the value that we find for ourselves in that community, what the community gives to us, that is, the value of what everyone else is doing for the community. That's what makes us want to join. And that's what allows us to unleash our own energies and abilities and bring them to the community. This mutual appreciation and willingness to help is what makes a strong community. That way we don't just survive, we thrive. We create a community with heart. A community which will support us all as long as we treasure it and don't take it for granted. This is the sort of community that Wendell Berry calls the smallest unit of health. As we build such a strong and secure community, we can direct our attention to the second part, which is perhaps a bigger challenge. To grow that community and bring positive things to others outside the community. ATI will probably keep expanding within itself as we train new teachers, and that expansion will be healthy to the extent that we keep our values and all that makes our community attractive. But I think it is important to be clear that expanding our community out to the everyone else outside us does not mean inviting others to crowd into our little circle and start doing things our way, any more than we are likely to throw out all the parts of our vision to join in the little circle of some other community. Instead, we must take the next step and go further than Wendell Berry's smallest unit of health. We need to look towards these even larger units of health. This means recognizing that it is not only the health of an individual, not only is the health of an individual in isolation a contradiction in terms, but that a healthy community in isolation is also a contradiction in terms. Our one-to-one work with students is only as powerful as we are able to live our own free and open use when we are close to and in contact with them. Can any student's habitually strained and tight use resist for long in the face of open and free contact with someone else whose use is so well supported and expanded. By the same token, our organization is only as supportive and healthy for each of us who are in it as we are able to live our principles with each other and remain open and inviting. The next level does not mean expanding ATI, it means expanding our connections to other communities with bonds of trust and acceptance. And ATI will be only as powerful in doing that as we are all able to remain well supported and strong, strong enough to reach out to those others whom we recognize, even when they do not recognize us. Yet. We're already doing that in ATI, aren't we? Recognizing other groups so they don't recognize us yet. And when we meet them, can we be truly happy to see them and smile at them, even if they scowl back? Well, of course we can, because we can see that they are there on the same path as us, right beside us. Even if they do not see us, we are there, right beside them. And you know, it doesn't take a big budget to do all of this, or advertising campaign, or public relations companies. It just takes being ourselves. It takes being excited by what we do and inspired by the possibilities as we interact with others. Remember, if they are people whose work we would find interesting and exciting, then they too want to make connections. You already know what happens to you as an individual when you trust your innate system enough to give up control and to allow your wholeness and freedom to expand you. We all know how deeply our lives have changed because of that. That's why we are teaching, to share all this with others. So let's also pat ourselves on the back here today for how we have been achieving much the same thing as a community by trusting each other. Trusting each other enough to give up control and fear, to open up discussion and to find consensus on what we do. And I ask you, if we trust the same process in all our dealings with those around us, other groups and other communities, can we doubt that the connections extending outside ourselves will also arrive and grow and expand? This kind of community is such a big attraction. Who could resist it for long? So let's toast ATI, a community with heart. Now, where's my glass of wine? That's it. So ATI, all of you. It just got bigger.